This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. We continue now with our evening series. This week we've talked about food policy, supply, safety, and we've talked to people who advocate that we all connect the food we eat to where it comes from. We've also spoken about the self-righteousness that foodists tend to project. Talking the talk about food is big business. Walking the walk is another story. Michael Perry is a musician and author of several books. He grew up on a small dairy farm in Wisconsin, worked by his devout fundamentalist parents. He left to make his way as a nurse, a writer, and a musician. We're listening to Michael Perry and the Long Beds now. Returned to Chippewa County to tend Annalise's family farm. Together, they joined today's food and fowl renaissance while tending 37 acres of fallen fences and overgrown fields. He tells a story in the book Coop, A Family, A Farm, and the Pursuit of One Good Egg. And Michael Perry joins us now on the line. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're part of a national trend of people going rural but are no city slicker. Tell us a little bit about the family farm that you grew up on.
I grew up on a little dairy farm in northern Wisconsin. That's all I remember, although my parents were actually both city kids. My mom and dad grew up in the city, and my mom said all her life she didn't care who she married as long as she didn't marry a farmer. And she married my dad, a city kid with a chemistry degree, and he was working in the paper mills 2 years into their marriage when he decided to chuck it all and get a farm. And so he bought a farm, and he didn't have a factory job, so he eased into farming. People ask me if I remember when he became a real farmer, and I do. I wrote about it in the book. I remember the exact evening. It was the night that he drove home with a giant lactating Holstein tethered to the bumper of his Ford Falcon station wagon.
And you note that was actually, towing that little calf was sort of like tying an anchor to, or a ball and chain to his ankle. You took on that same kind of life. What made you do it?
Well, I have to be careful when I talk that way because I was raised by farmers, and I have friends, matter of fact, that were just down the road from me here, who's a farmer, in the sense that they get up every day and try to feed their family and keep their livelihood going in the fields and in the barn. I'm a guy, I'm a writer and a musician, and I make my way through the world by typing mostly. So I have the luxury of if my pigs die or if my corn doesn't come up, it's a disappointment and it hurts a little bit, but it's not the end of my career. Mm-hmm. But what got us out here was that my wife and I both have rural backgrounds, and we were looking to live on a farm, and my mother-in-law and her husband needed to follow up an opportunity somewhere else, and they wanted someone to take over their farm, and so we were able to just take over a little patch of it. It's been fallow for most of the last 25 years, and we're just slowly easing our way in.
Your family had no health insurance. In fact, you diagnosed Amy's chickenpox using Google and an old nursing degree, and you found plans for the chicken coop that you've been dreaming of building since you were a kid, also on Google. Now, it made me wonder, if Google, that kind of key to vast amounts of shared knowledge, is like a new kind of elder farmer.
Oh, sure, it's a great source of information, and I would offer one correction. We did have health insurance. We do have health insurance, but we pay for it ourselves.
Oh, you pay out of pocket.
Yeah, so that's why you also sometimes do a little Googling before you go roaring off to the ER. But Google is great. Of course, it's like anything. You have to weigh your options, and you have to check some sources of advice against others. And the other thing is, at some point, and I was just talking to someone about this today, you got to just shut the computer off, quit reading books, and get out there in the dirt and see what happens. Because you can also get overwhelmed with advice. I remember we were having trouble first year with chickens eating their eggs. And so I put a little thing on my blog and asked for advice, and I got 17 different reasons why they were doing it and how to stop it. And eventually, we found a couple of tricks that worked, but nothing replaces experience.
Well, that's a question about the kind of elder farmers. It seems like over and over in the book, you kind of go back again and again to your father's experience, your father's and mother's lives, their courtship. And he was a city slicker himself, as you said. He was from a city, and then he got this path and started the dairy operation. But tell us a little bit about this man, a strict, fundamentalist, but very hardworking father.
Yeah, he was a gentleman. He still is. I mentioned I was raised in an obscure fundamentalist Christian sect, and I write about that in the book, and it sounds daunting. And I'm a bumbling agnostic these days. I left the faith a long time ago. But my father is just a man. If I think of two words when I think of my father, it's humility and charity. And he tried to live that way and still does. And I think that while he was strict, he was also a very reasonable man and humble and quiet, and he had a work ethic that just shames me to this day. And all the children that he raised. And,
you had about 60 foster kids?
Over the years, yep. And he and my mom are in their late 60s, and they're still taking care of our little ones with pretty severe disabilities. And so this is a man who just set the bar so high for me. And part of the book is about how do you reject the faith of someone you care about and still maintain respect and love. And in the end, I've been able to do that just because I admire my father. But he also benefited from the old timers in the neighborhood. I mean, when he moved there in the 60s, it was the old timers, a guy from Czechoslovakia, an immigrant, and the Norwegian farmer up the road. They took my dad under their wing informally and taught him the ways, and now I'm calling him for advice. And when I call him for advice, it's kind of fun to think of it filtering all the way down from the guys that helped him.
We're talking to Michael Perry about his memoir of a family of inexperienced farmers living in a ramshackle Wisconsin farmhouse with 75 rambling acres to care for. It's called Coop, A Family, A Farm, and the Pursuit of One Good Egg. Well, it is a very funny book, and very reflective in the way that you were just talking about. It's not funny in that kind of, green acres, look at the hicks kind of way, but your observations of yourself and your own lessons in humility. Michael, what were some of the hardest lessons for you in working on this farm?
Well, I think I referred to one early on. You pretty quickly realize, and I knew this from growing up, but I needed a refresher, and just how daunting it is to truly support yourself strictly off the land. And it gives you a whole new appreciation for food and where it comes from. Again, I was aware of these things, but until you're in there with the pigs up to your ankles in mud, and they're trying to eat your kneecaps, or I wrote in the book about the day I went to pick up my pig, and I don't mean to desecrate your very nice public radio show here, but I frankly got bit in the butt by a dog while wrestling the pig. And as I said in the book, so two firsts in one day.
That's quite a story. Yeah. Well, this definitely isn't really a book about how to raise chickens or plant oats or raise hogs, is it?
Well, sometimes I've had a couple of people say, I was all the way to page 180 before I heard anything about building a chicken coop. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, that's because, at best, my book is Back to the Land for Dummies. But it is, I like to talk about things that are relevant to this life. My talk in there about things like learning how to perform the perfect farmer snort, which is an essential skill for rural living. But then I also, I tend to write books that are about a year in the life, and some things happened during that year that were actually also quite tragic. So I do go back and forth between trying to be reflective and contemplative and then talking about the farmer snort.
Yeah, some great choice.
I will say, too, that reader at this point is not the only one. I started working on the chicken coop, and by the time we got done, the little chicks I had were ready to lay eggs, and my wife had taken to saying, which came first, the chicken or the coop?
There are some pretty funny ones and some great details. One that really stuck out for me, you realize that a church service that somewhere, someone still sells grilled cream. City limits is inherently pious, hinting at this kind of romantic myth of farming that lives in America's consciousness is indeed a myth. I wonder if you think any differently now.
No, I think I feel the same, and that line was really kind of a reminder to me as I set out to write the book that, hey, bud, don't get too caught up in your own mythology, because I am a country boy, and I think of myself in terms of pickup trucks and deer hunting, and I have an old pickup truck. I do go deer hunting. I was raised on a farm, but we're all potentially able to get ourselves in trouble by believing our own mythology, and the truth is that rural folk are just as complicated, just as likely to be prone to human fallibility as folks living in Manhattan. And so that was just kind of a reminder that really what it comes down to is how do you treat your neighbor, no matter where you live. And I need that reminder on a regular basis. So. And the other thing is that, especially during the tour for this book, I get to meet so many people who are doing these wonderful things in non-rural settings. The urban chicken movement is alive and well. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about getting back to the land, I'm not talking about you don't need to get 37 acres. There are people getting back to the land all over the country in their windowsills, in their little backyard, wherever they can conglomerate some dirt and drop a seed.
Michael Perry, so nice to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
We're going to leave you with a song, If They Gave You Wings. This is from the CD Tiny Pilot by Michael Perry and the Long Bends. Michael's a musician, a farmer, and author of books including Population 485, Truck, A Love Story, and Coop, A Family, A Farm, and A Pursuit of a Good Egg. You can read some more music and others on the book at wordofmouthradio.org. Doing good, doing well. A composting startup turns food waste from Seacoast area restaurants into fertilizer. That's up next on Word of Mouth on NHPR.